This evening we want to continue our study through 1 Kings, and tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 18. We talk a lot about how that we go through difficult times. And is God really there with us? And what can we learn from those times? And how can we really trust in the Lord in the midst of trials? This evening, we're going to be looking not only at Elijah and the battle that he has been called to wage against the ungodliness of the northern tribes that are referred to as Israel after the splitting of the kingdom. But we're also going to be looking at another man by the name of Obadiah. Now, Obadiah is not the Obadiah that has written the book that's a prophet in the Old Testament. This is a different Obadiah. But this Obadiah loves the Lord. But he's also in a very difficult situation. As he's in the court of Ahab, the worst king that's ever ruled in the northern kingdom of Israel. Ahab's wife, as we're going to see in the text in just a few moments, has as her mission to destroy all the men of God. You can imagine. And you're a believer that's working in that situation. Ahab is promoting false worship amongst the Israelites in a way that none of the other kings have done. Openly promoting Baal worship, openly promoting idolatry, openly promoting everything that God hates. And you find yourself as a believer, as one of his advisors, and one of the men that he has trusted to take care of some of his situations as far as ruling the country. Well, let's take a look at chapter 18 and see the full context of all that's going on with this. And it came to pass after many days. Now, after many days was just to give a context for those who weren't here. Many days is referring to when Elijah was up in Tyre and Sidon. He was up and sent up there by the Lord. A widow up there took care of him and fed him. And also, really, the Lord sent Elijah up there to be a witness and encouragement to a widow of the fact that God is who God says. And just a side note from that, you can see that in the midst of all the struggles that are going on in the Middle East and all of the wickedness in many of these nations, yet God is raising up people that are calling out to Him and turning to Him and becoming believers. Just again, a little side note as far as what's happening in the Middle East right now. I was listening to a man who has a ministry over there, and he said there is great evangelism occurring, a great number of people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And God will provide for those who seek Him, just as He provided for the widow and her son in sending Elijah to reveal that He was God to her. So we see that it's after many days that that event has transpired, and Elijah finds that the Lord is commanding him to do something else. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now the Lord had said that he was going to withhold the rain until he would allow the rain to come, and he was going to withhold it until he told Elijah to send and bring the rain. And those of you who were here know that the significance of that is the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth, the two main gods, the main god and goddess that the northern tribes of Israel were worshiping because of Jezebel and Ahab, were the fertility gods. And they worshiped them to give them good, bountiful crops, give them lots of rain, and make their life very easy and fruitful. And the Lord says, no, I'm the one who brings the rain and allows the rain or stops the rain. So Elijah was told to stop the rain. He was told that the Lord was going to stop the rain, and the Lord wouldn't allow it to come till he said. And we're going to see that this is going to play into some events later on. But let's see what happens as God commands Elijah to go to Ahab. Ahab, who is a man that is constantly out to try and, along with his wife, destroy the men of God. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. We can imagine there'd be a famine in Samaria because there was no rain. And crops don't do well without rain. And so consequently, they didn't have any food, and it was not a fun place to be living in. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So it tells us he's a believer. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. This took real courage. If you can imagine, the wife of the one who is the king of the northern tribes of Israel, who is your immediate employer, and you are his counselor, advisor, and rule over some of his things, and yet you believe in God, and you see that his wife is going about seeking to destroy and kill all the prophets of the land, and you know 100 men that love the Lord, that want to serve the Lord, that want to speak for the Lord, and that are prophets, and you take it upon yourself at God's leading to hide these 100 men, 50 and 50, in caves, and then you make sure that they get food and water. And the whole time knowing that at any time that Jezebel found out you were doing that, you would be going to have your day with your meeting the Lord in person, because she would have you killed. And so let's go on and see what happens. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So there was this famine in the land. There's no grass for the horses. I don't know if you, those of you who were in North Dakota, a few years ago, remember that we didn't have rain, especially in the western part of the state. And when there was no rain, the alfalfa didn't grow, the grass didn't grow, and so they had no hay for the horses and the cattle. And they had to call all over the country, and there were trucks coming from all the way down south that were bringing hay up so that farmers wouldn't lose their cattle and wouldn't lose their horses because of the famine. Well, this is what was happening in Israel. There wasn't even enough grass where they would normally pasture the horses for them to eat. And so Ahab calls Obadiah, and he tells him, this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to go and find every place where there's still water. And where there's water, there will be grass. And so I want you to go there and find all the places in Israel where there's water, and then we'll gather the grass and bring it to our animals, lest we lose all the animals that we possess. And so Obadiah and Ahab are going to take men and go and do this. And so it says in verse 6, so they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? Now, is this by chance? Is it just by chance that Elijah happened to be going down that road, that Obadiah happened to know? God orchestrated a meeting here. And Elijah came, and immediately Obadiah recognizes Elijah as the prophet, that he's a man of God. And he falls down before him, understanding who Elijah is. And he answered and said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Now, this is something that Obadiah is being asked to do by Elijah. And really the Lord's instructing him to do this through Elijah. And part of it is to help Obadiah grow in his faith about, can God take care of me when I'm in a situation that could lead to my death? And can I trust in the Lord no matter what the circumstance? It's one thing to take the prophets and hide them when Jezebel isn't looking, and to get bread and water when she's not really observing. But it's a whole nother thing to go to Ahab, and instead of bringing the grass, you bring the word that Elijah is there and he wants to come and speak to Ahab. Now, I want you to understand the tension that would create, because if there's one person in the world Ahab does not want to see, it's Elijah. Because Elijah is a man of God. Ahab is being led by really demonic spirits. And everything that Ahab is doing, he knows is going to be against what God wants. And he doesn't want to see Elijah. And now Obadiah is being asked to go and tell Ahab, Elijah wants to see you. And so let's see what happens after this. And he said, what have I sinned in that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? So this is Obadiah's initial reaction, is that if I go and do this, what you're asking me to do, you are sending me to my death. Because it's not being done clandestinely where Ahab's not going to see that I'm really helping you, but rather I'm going on your behalf to tell him you want to speak to him. And it'll be right out in the open what I believe, that I trust in the Lord, and I'm bringing God's man to Ahab. As the Lord my God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And this is what Obadiah is concerned about. Okay, it's one thing to go and tell Ahab, Elijah wants to see you. And so I go and tell him that, and then all of a sudden, God calls you somewhere else, or you go somewhere else, or you leave me, and then I'm left there, and I've just told Ahab, Elijah wants to see you, and now there's nobody there to help me, because you're gone. You don't show up. And then Ahab is going to be really upset with me. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall say to me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And so he is he's in a situation where he feels he's being boxed in, because he's being told that this is God's will, but it puts me in a vulnerable spot. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets? of the Lord, and how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. In other words, I'm trying to serve God, but you're going to put me in a position where I'm going to be dead. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So Obadiah, even though he understood the circumstances and what it could be the result if Elijah didn't keep his word and say, I will be there, he went anyway. And part of it was because, as he said earlier, he had served the Lord since he was a young man, since he was a youth. And he came to the conclusion in his own mind, if God's calling me to do this, I need to do this. Sometimes in our lives, and it may be something as simple as being a witness to someone and we're fearful of sharing the gospel with them because what will their response be? And maybe that person would be able to, do things to harm your reputation or attempt to harm your reputation or whatever. And so you don't share it. Well, then are you doing God's will and are you really showing your love for the Lord? Even though you may be doing all these other things, maybe you're giving money to the church, maybe you're doing other things, but God specifically calls you, you really need to be talking to this one person. And He lays that person on your heart. The thing that we need to learn from Obadiah is, even though he knew that he would possibly be facing death if Elijah, for some reason, wasn't there, he still went. And it shows the depth of his love for the Lord, even and trusting in the Lord to be there with him in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. So Ahab sent, verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, I want you to see something here, and this is something that Obadiah saw the proper perspective, Ahab did not. Who was Elijah? Elijah was a man of God. Who was God? God is the one who blesses, not troubles. The only time that God troubles is when we walk in disobedience to Him. When we walk in obedience to Him and do His will, He blesses us and He's with us and He causes us to be able to accomplish His purposes. Obadiah looked at Elijah, and remember when he saw him, he says, are you Elijah, the man of God, and fell down before him? He understood who Elijah was. Ahab doesn't. Why? Because Ahab's walking in direct rebellion against God, and it shows you the depth of his rebellion, where he doesn't even acknowledge this powerful prophet. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it's interesting, and I go back to him often because he really lived out a lot of the things that we see in the lives of the believers in the Old Testament. Paul went where he was told to go, and it was interesting the response to Paul. On the one hand, you had those that believed his message, that wanted him to stay and teach them more, that saw that he was a powerful man of God, that saw how God was using him and wanted to learn more about the Lord by having him teach him. And you can see that in the book of Acts where he goes to some of these cities and they want him to stay and to teach them more. And he's being called by the Lord to lead on and to leave and to go other places. But you also see that there are those who hate God And they also show their hatred towards God by the way they treat Paul. They reject his message. They do everything they can to try and not only silence his message, but to silence him and even, in some cases, put him to death. And here we have the exact same difference in attitude. The attitude of Obadiah, a godly man, when he sees Elijah, and he knows he's a servant of God, and he pays homage to him, and he acknowledges who he is and who God is. And then we see Ahab, who says, "Aren't you the one that troubled Israel?" No, Elijah wasn't the one that troubled Israel. It was Ahab who was troubling Israel. Why was God bringing the drought on Israel? I mentioned at the beginning of the message today, he was bringing the drought on Israel because Israel was worshiping false gods that they believed somehow were the ones that gave them all the blessings of a bountiful crop and wonderful rain and all of the fruits and being prosperous. And God was going to show them, no, it's not them, it's me. And when Ahab was doing that, he was the one that was troubling Israel because God's judgment was coming on Israel because of him, not because of Elijah. And so Ahab says, "Are not thou the one that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house." Now why does he say thy father's house? Because if you remember, his father, Omri, was the first one that began to introduce Baal worship into the northern kingdom. And he also evidently blessed the marriage of his son to Jezebel, who was an ungodly woman who hated God and loved her false prophets and her false gods. And so we see that he tells them, "You're the one that troubleth Israel and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal." And so here, Elijah doesn't mince words. And he's also standing in great courage in the face of this man, this very wicked and powerful man, because he controls all of the northern kingdom. And he will have his will done. We're going to see that as we study more about him. And others that try and quench what he wants done in their own self apart from God, they pay the consequences. And yet Elijah says, "You're the one who's causing the problem. It's you, Ahab. Not me. Because you have brought all this upon Israel because of your false worship." You know, one of the things that we see in our country today is there's very few Christians that have the opportunity to stand and speak to men of power and authority who would really speak the truth like Elijah. And we see very few men that would be like Obadiah, who would have the ability to introduce an Elijah to the leaders of our land so they could confront them, that will do that. Instead, we play word games and try to act as if we're Christians, but we don't get down to the real nitty-gritty. And the real problem in America is the same problem that Israel had. We've turned our back on God. And nobody wants to say those words to those that have the power to actually stand up and call us to repentance as a nation. We need men who would have the courage of Obadiah, and we need men who would have the faithfulness and the willingness to stand as Elijah against the wickedness of the hour that he was in. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, some of these people that you have given us glimpses into their life that deserving the record in your word, like Obadiah. We don't know a whole lot about him except right here. But here we see a man that is a man like us. He struggled like we struggle. Yet he trusted in your power to deliver, even though in his own strength he knew he would fail. But he knew that in you he would accomplish what he'd sent him to accomplish. Lord, may we be men and women like Obadiah. And may we be men and women who possess the spirit of Elijah, that are willing to stand in the face of wickedness and proclaim truth. And Father, to tell it like it is, that people can get saved and be delivered from the clutches of Satan. Lord, go with us this next week. Give us opportunities. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you will turn with me to number 487. 487.